Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Brothers, if you can have your attention now, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, it's the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the tawfiq and the ability to come and participate in this course, which is in itself a very noble and very worthy course, as this will help us to understand the language of Arabic, which is the means of understanding the Quran. As we all know that the Quran was revealed in the language of Arabic, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we should learn Arabic, فَإِنِّي Arab, because I'm an Arab, وَلُغَةُ الْجَنَّةِ هِيَ عَرَبِيَّةِ, and the Jannah, and the language of Jannah is Arabic, and the language of Quran is Arabic. So this is one of the benefits of learning this language. Obviously, with every language, there's rules and regulation. Likewise, this language has rules and regulation. We covered the first book, which is the Gateway of Arabic, book 1, which is very basic, and it is, should we say, the actual foundation of the Arabic language, which is the Arabic alphabets and also few other diacritical marks and etc., which have to be known to understand how the pronunciation of the actual word is taking place. One is the pronunciation of the letters and one is the pronunciation of the actual words. So in this lesson, what we will try to do is, first of all, is to recap of everything that we have done in the previous course and in the previous book. So that is the endeavor of today's. Inshallah, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill our objectives, and inshallah, if we stay focused, then the lesson will go smoothly and also it will become easy. Otherwise, if we are not focused, then if we miss one thing, then it will make it difficult to understand the latter after that. So book one, those who've come to the first course, is this one, which we have done. And basically, in this book one, the things that we did in book one was actually very basic in terms of the language. First of all, we did the alphabets, the 29 alphabets. Although in this book, they've only mentioned 28. And the reason being that Hamza and Alif are sometimes written one, similar and written as same. That's why they've only mentioned 28. And also we covered basically how to join the actual Arabic alphabets, like here, as you can see. Bahatha, it just tells you how to join it. And then we learned about Shadda, Tashdeed, the double consonant, that which makes the letter double in pronunciation. And then we did the Sukun, Qasan, which, you know, normally I'll tell the children, it comes in the shape of half circle, which we did. Those who did come in the first course, they were given a photocopy of all the actual the marks and etc. I don't know if you can recall where we had all the diacritical marks, and it was explained what are these marks, what do these marks represent. Like the mark which is on top of a letter is called fatha. The mark which is comes under a letter is called kasra. And then we have a sliding or slanting number 9, which is dhamma. And then we had double mark, which is called fathatain. If it's on top of a letter, if it's beneath the letter, then it's kasratain. And again, if that dhamma is double, then that is dhammatain, and etc. So this is what we did in the actual first lesson. The other thing that we also did was the long vowels. The long vowels. As you all know, like in English, we have vowels, and we have vowels in Arabic. You have also vowels, and the vowels in Arabic language is the actual diacritical marks, which in Arabic is called harakat. Okay, So Fatha, Kasra, Dhamma, Fathatain, Kasratain, Dhammatain, these are all vowels. These are the makers of the sound which is needed for one to actually formulate the words. Just like in the language, English language, you have vowels, A, I, O, U, something like that. Six, isn't it? Five, is it?
Six.
Oh, do we have conflict of opinions here?
Six.
So basically, same thing with the Arabic language. You have these harakats which give the sounding to the words. So you have short vowels, which is fatha, kasra, and dhamma, and then you have long vowels, which basically lengthen the sound of those harakats. So you have long fatha, which normally comes in the shape of a standing, or like a dagger, and then you have the long kasra again, which comes in the shape of a standing dagger underneath the letter, and then you have the long dhamma, which it comes in the shape of a six slanting towards the right. So these are all vowels. So you have short vowels and then you have long vowels. Okay, that is what we learned in Hina. Also, we learned tanween, nunation, which gives the end sound to any letter. So if you have a fatatain, okay, it will give the end sound. So for example, abadan. So that's fatatain. So it gives an end sound to the letter dal, which is at the end of this particular word, abadan. Okay, and then we also have kasratain, which again similar, it gives an end sound, and then you have dhammatain, which gives you that end sound after a dhamma. So that is also what we learned here. So we learn fatha, kasra, dhamma. Then we learn long fatha, long kasra, and long dhamma. We also learn shadda, or another word, tashdeed. We also learn sukoon or jazm. Another word for sukoon is jazm. And again, the job of a sukoon is actually to basically to stop giving any sort of movement to that letter. So it's the opposite of haraka. Haraka is an Arabic word which means movement. When you have fatha, kasra, dhamma, it gives movement to the sound, and that's why words are formulated. And jazm or sukoon stops that. So, like for example, if you say ab, now the ba doesn't have any fatha, kasra, dhamma, so it stops on the ba. No sound is carried forward. So that is the role of a sukoon or jazm, which comes in the shape of a half circle in most of the places, or sometimes it comes in the shape of a kind of a pyramid, like. Okay, so that is jazm or sukoon. So we did fatha, kasra, dhamma, which is the short vowel, and then we had long fatha, long dhamma, long kasra, which is the long vowel, and then we did sukoon and jazm, okay, and then we did tashdeed, which is the double consonant, which doubles and the consonant, and you have to pronounce it with emphasis, and then we also did tanween, which is fathatain, kasratain, dhammatain, which gives the nunation, the end sound to the end of a word. And we also did something which is called huruf shamsiya and huruf qamariya, the moon letters and the sun letters. So the Arabic language, the alphabets are divided into two. Some letters belong to the moon letters, and some letters belong to the sun letters. So the moon letters are called al-huruf al-qamariya, and the sun letters are called al-huruf al-shamsiya. Inshallah, we will elaborate a bit more on that after the Salatul Isha. So if you want to go for Salatul Isha, inshallah, we'll perform Salatul Isha and then we'll come back and resume. Yes, and the sisters are requested to perform their Salat where they are. Inshallah, the brothers will go downstairs and read it in the actual main hall, inshallah. Okay, brothers, inshallah, we can get our concentration together, inshallah. So, before the Salah, we were going over actually the last bit of Gateway to Arabic, book 1, which was Huruf al-Shamsiyya and Huruf al-Qamariyya, meaning the moon letters and the sun letters. That was the last thing that we did in book 1. And I was explaining that the Arabic alphabet is segregated into two in terms of the Alif Lam. The moon letters are those letters, or should I say those nouns or ism, again I'll explain all that. So to make it simplified, those words which at the beginning have Alif Lam written on it. Oh yes, 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 great. Anybody sleeping, I can just wake them up.
What a beautiful house.
Oh yes.
Sit down now.
You can tell who's my student and who's not. Right. So, as I was saying, was that those words which have Alif Lam at the beginning, if the Lam is recited, then those words which have the Alif Lam at the beginning and the Lam is recited are called Hurufi Qamariyya. Okay, so if you have your gateway to book Arabic 1, you will see at the right at the end the sun letters and the moon letters. As you can see, so there. So these are the moon letters which are called Hurufi Qamariyya. And then you have the sun letters, Huruf al-Shamsiyya. So the Huruf al-Qamariyya are those letters which, if they come at the beginning of a word and Alif Lam is attached to it, then the Huruf al-Qamariyya, the Lam will be recited. Huruf al-Shamsiyya are those letters which, if they come at the beginning of a word, then the Alif Lam that is attached to it, the Lam will not be recited. That's the only difference. Again, these things will come again and again, and I will explain that as we come along again. So that's regarding the book. What we did extra in terms of grammar, as we all know, previous course, we explained about ilm al-nahw, ilm al-sarf, the knowledge of syntax and the knowledge of morphology. Ilm al-nahw, the knowledge of syntax, the goal and the aim and objective of it is to understand what type of haraka, what type of diacritical mark should be put at the end of that word. So in the Arabic language, you have the three diacritical marks, the three haraka, fatha, kasra, and dhamma. Now, every word in the Arabic language will have some sort of haraka, meaning fatha, kasra, dhamma, on it. Now, which one should we put on the last letter? Ilm al-Nahwa will teach that. So, when we read Alhamdulillah, why are we reading Alhamdu? Why aren't we reading Alhamdi? Why aren't we reading Alhamda? So I explained that last time as well. That Alhamdu, the Dhamma that we put on the Dal, we will come to know of that once we study Ilm al-Nahw, the knowledge of syntax. That is the aim and objective of this fun and this subject. The Ilm al-Nahw will teach a person what type of haraka should we put, what type of diacritical mark should be recited at the end of that particular word. That is the function And that is the aim and objective of ilm nahw. Ilm sarf is different. The morphology, the aim and objective of that knowledge is how to create the word. Okay? So how a word should from a singular be made into plural, for example. How a feminine word or masculine word should be turned into feminine. How words are derived and how the words are created. That is the job of ilmus sarf. For example, from you have a verb which says daraba, one person hit, one man hit. Now, how would you say many people or many men hit? So, ilm sarf morphology will teach a person that you have to add certain things, so this verb will no longer be singular but become plural. So from daraba to darabu. So darabu now means many men hit, not just one. So that is the function of ilm al-sarf. Another example would be from nasra, which means he helped, a person helped. Now if you want to say she helped, you will say nasarat. So that means she helped. That female helped. Or that woman, lady helped. Yes? So again, that is the function or that is the aim and objective of ilm al-sarf. So today, though the previous course, we went over a couple of rules regarding ilm al-nahw, meaning the knowledge of syntax. The first thing we did was mawdu'. Mawdu' means a word which has a meaning. Anything that is uttered from a human mouth, from a person's mouth, will either be mawdu' or muhmal, meaning it will have a meaning or it won't have a meaning. Mawdu' means it has a meaning. So any word that is uttered from a human mouth will either have a meaning or not have a meaning. Straightforward. If it has a meaning, that is called mawdu', which means it has been given a meaning. Muhmal means doesn't have a meaning. It is redundant. It is redundant. It has nothing. That's what muhmal means. I explained all that in the previous week, and I gave the meaning of it. This is just a recap of what we've done. If you look at some of the photos, you will see. And also, if you go back into your previous course, but this is just a recap of what we've done previous week, a previous course. Okay, so whatever a person utters, that is called lafz in Arabic language. I explained that last time as well. Lafz, you know, we say in Urdu as well. We explained that as well so many times, that so many words in the Arabic language has a similarity, or should I say so many Urdu words has similarity with the Arabic language. So those who are familiar with the language of Urdu, they will know that they will say lafz. And lafz means word. In the Quran it says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That not a word, not a single word is uttered from a person, but there is somebody there that is recording. The Quran in Surah Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That not a single word is uttered, but there is someone sitting who is registering, recording everything. يَلْفِظُ لَفَظَ يَلْفِظُ. The word has been used in the Quran, that. So it's come from lafz. Lafz really means to throw. When a person says something, he's throwing things from his mouth. He's throwing things. So whatever he's throwing from his mouth, whatever he's saying from his mouth, will have one of the two. Either it will have a meaning or it won't have a meaning. Now, we won't discuss about muhmal because it's pointless. It has no meaning. So we're going to be discussing mawdu', meaning something which has a meaning. Now, either it will be mufrad or murakkab. Mufrad means singular, murakkab means compound. So the words that we utter from our mouth will either in nature will be mufrad, which means singular, murakkab means compound. Mufrad is then segregated into three. Now the singular word that we will say will either be of these, one of these category, one of these three categories. Either it's going to be an ism, fa'al, or harf. Ism means noun. In English language, a noun. Any names of places, people, objectives, objects, countries, these are all classed as nouns. So whatever singular word that we say, it's either going to be a noun or a fi'l, which is a verb, a doing. So we are either expressing of somebody's doing or our own selves, or harf, which is a particle. And we explained the definition of all three. That the ism is the name of a definition is the names of objects or countries or names. Or to put it more definitive is a name, a word which does not carry any tense, meaning past, present, and future, and is not in need of another word to explain its meaning. That is the complete definition. It's a word which doesn't carry any tense meaning past, future, and present, and is not in need of another word to explain its meaning. That is the true definition of ism. Okay? So if I break it down even more, what it means is that to explain its meaning, it doesn't need another word to explain its meaning. Like if you say baytun, house, you understand straight away what house means. A, does it have any tense in it? No, it doesn't have any tense because it's not a doing. Okay? And for you to understand that this word means house, do you need another word to tell you that? No. So that is the definition, complete definition of ism. In short, you can just say noun. But in the grammatical terms, that will be the complete definition of al-ism. Fa'al, in short, verb. In short, verb. The full definition of verb, of fa'al, would be a word which carries a tense and is not in need of another word to explain its meaning. Okay? So, example, Nasara. He, one person, one male, helped. Now, there's a doing in this word, which is the word, the doing of help. So, there's actually an action that's been taking place. And when is the action being taken, or when is it being taken place, or when has it happened? It's happened in the past, isn't it? So it has a tense. But for us to understand that, do we need another word for us to tell that? No. So that is what is fa'il is. Harf, for one, is a word which is in need of another word to understand its meaning and doesn't carry any tense. So for example, fi means in what? So you have to say fil bayt, in the house, or ala, on top, okay, ala al jidar, ala al whatever, ala al bayt, or ala al saqaf, on the roof. So ala, these are particles. Like fi, ala, these are particles which, for one to understand, it has to be attached to another word. Okay? So Allah will not come by itself. It will become with another verb, another noun, etc. Okay? So these particles, harf, for one to understand its meaning, it has to be attached to another word. So that's the difference between those three. Okay? If we keep it too much explanation, we're never going to get through. We're going to be stuck in the...
I think what you're explaining is the same as in the English language. What you're saying, that it's in the English language.
True.
If the sentence is no verb, it doesn't have a meaning.
Yeah. Okay. Ism is then segregated into three. You have jamid, masdar, mushtaq. We did that last in the last. I gave a photocopy. If you read, has anyone seen it? I just passed it around, didn't I?
No, there was only one.
Can I pass this? Just pass it around.
This is a rakab and.
Listen, did we not pass that around? I'm sure I did.
No.
That's it, is it? Didn't pass this one around. Huh? Okay, have a toss it around. Well, if you go into the actual website, into the mosque website, it's all there. So I just printed out just for my convenience. If you want to pass it around, what we did last week, sample. Again, if you go into the website, mosque website, please. It's all there. We're just recapping what we've done last. So jamid is a primary noun. Okay? It's a word, a noun. It's a noun which is not derived, nor are words derived from it. Does that make sense? It's a word which is not the root to another noun, nor words, nor is it derived itself. So like rajulun. Rajulun means a man. Man. Now the word rajul is not derived from another word, nor words are derived from that. So you, from rajulun, you're not going to get other words that have been derived from it. Okay, I'll explain that. You'll understand that once I explain these two. Masdar is called a root noun. Masdar is a word from which other words are derived. So like an-nasru, to help. So from an-nasru, you'll have verb nasara coming out, which means he helped. Okay? And you get the word nasir. You know, so many names. We have nasir, which means the helper. Okay? So these words are being derived from the masdar an-nasru. So an-nasru is a noun, but it is a root noun. What is it? A root noun. Mushtaq is the derivative noun. Mushtaq is the derivative noun. It is a noun which has been derived from the root noun. So nasirun, for example, nasirun means helper. Like the sahabas.
What is that?
Mushtaq.
Yeah.
Mushtaq means derivative noun. Yeah. So for example, the Sahabas, we had two types of Sahabas. You had the Muhajirun and you had the Ansar. Yes? Those Sahabas that were already in Medina, they were called Ansar. Ansar is the plural of Nasir. And it means helpers. Who did they help? They helped the Sahabas that did Hijrah. They made that journey from Makkah to Medina. Those Sahabas are called Al-Muhajirun. What are they called? Al-Muhajirun, which means those who made the journey, Hijrah. You understand? Migration. Okay? So, Ansar, for example, that word would be called Mushtaq, derivative noun, which means that it has been derived from the word An-Nasru. An-Nasru is a Masdar. So every verb, just make it easy for you, every verb will be derived from Masdar. There is not a single verb that is not derived from Masdar. So from Masdar you have noun that have been derived and you have verb that have been derived. So that is called a root noun. Let's carry on. Then fi'l is been divided into three. Four. Mazi, mudari', so Mazi, mudari', amr, and nahi. Mazi is a verb which is done in the past tense. That's called Mazi. Mudari' is a verb which is done in the present or future. So you have one verb which will either be used for a verb which is done in future or in present. So there's no two words. And the way to understand is it being done in the future or in the or in present, you would look at the whole contents of this of the actual sentence, which would then indicate that he's talking about present. He's not talking about future. Or she, for that matter. Amr, an order. Like, wa'mur ahlak. In the Quran it says, Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling this, telling Hadrat Yahya alayhi salam, wa'mur ahlaka, I think Yahya or Ismail alayhi salam, one of the, wa'mur ahlaka bis salat, to order your family to perform salah, wa'mur. U'mur. So that is an order. Huh? So that will come under the word amr. Nahi means prohibition. Prohibition. Not to do something. Another one. La tatruku salah. Do not leave salah. Do not neglect salah. So that is a prohibition. So fi'l, verb, will come under these four categories. Then what we did also, remember this is all a recap, we haven't touched book 2 yet, which we'll probably start next week. This is just a recap of what we've done. So all we did was, at the moment, was mufrad, wasn't it? So mufrad, which is a singular word. Then we had a compound, murakkab. Murakkab means compound, combination of two words. Now, those combination of two words will either be classified as murakkabun ghayru mufidin or murakkabun mufidun. Murakkabun ghayru mufid means a compound which does not give a full complete sentence. So, yes, there is a combination of two words, but those two words do not give a complete sentence. So it is incomplete. That's what it means. A compound of a combination of two words or more which do not give a complete meaning, complete sentence. If you do not understand something, please feel free to put your hands up or indicate to me so that I can explain again or whatever. Murakkabun mufid means a combination of two words or more which give a complete meaning, which give a complete sentence. So you have a combination of two words or more. Either these combination of two words or more will give a complete sentence or will not give a complete sentence. Simple as that. If it gives a complete sentence, then that sentence would either would be jumlatul khabariya or jumlatul insha'iyya. Either that complete sentence will give a meaning will give an a khabar, a basically a, should we say, what is the right thing? The meaning, the what's the English for khabar?
Inform.
Giving some information, that's what it is. A sentence which is informing of something. That's what jumlatul khabariyya means. The word khabar tells it all. Those who understand Urdu will know. So jumlatul khabariyya is a sentence which is informing of something. For example, al-baytu kabirun. The house is big. So here, in this sentence, it's informing that the house is big. So in this sentence, what we are learning is the house is big, it's informing. So that's why it's called Jumlatul Khabariyya. Or Jumlatul Insha'iyya is a sentence in which no information is being given of something. No information is given of something. Okay? For example, Jumlatul Insha'iyya would be لا تترك الصلاة. Do not leave salah. It's just not informing anything about the salah. It's telling you not to leave it. It's not saying that as-salah is a long prayer or as-salah is a very short prayer. It's not informing you of any particular about that. What it's telling you, do it. Do you understand? Whereas in Jumlatul Khabariyya, it informs of you of something. So like, for example, al-baytu kabirun, the house is big, it's informing you something about the house. So that's why it will be called Jumlatul Khabariyya. And then, again, Jumlatul Khabariyya will be segregated into two. Either it will be Jumlatul Ismiyya or Jumlatul Fi'liyya. Jumlatul Ismiyya is a sentence which starts with a noun. Simple. So for example, al-baytu kabirun, the house is big. Al-baytu is a noun. So the sentence is starting with al-baytu. So that would be called jumlatul ismiyya. A jumlatul fi'liyya is a sentence in which the first word is a verb. Fi'l. Fi'liyya. Okay? So for example, ضرب ناصر ناصر hit. What did he do? He hit. So ضرب, the sentence is starting with ضرب. And ضرب, what is it?
Hit.
It's a verb, isn't it? Yeah? So it's starting with the verb, so that will be called جملة فعلية. And then you have مركب غير مفيد. مركب غير مفيد means a sentence which is incomplete. Combination of two words which is incomplete. We did it here. Has anyone got one? Has it been passed around?
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, you just passed that around?
Yeah, they did see it.
Pass it around. So, مركب غير مفيد is a combination of two words or more in which a complete sentence is not given. So, you have مركب إضافي, which is possessive phrase. So for example, Kitabu Zaydin. Kitabu is one word, Zaydin is another word. Okay? These two words together means Zayd's book. Zayd's book. What about Zayd's book? Is it lost? Is it here? Is it gone? Stolen? It's incomplete. Although we have two words here, Kitabu Zaydin, Kitabu means book, and Zaydin means Zayd, person. So we have two words here, but these two words, although are together, but does not give a complete sentence. So this type of murakkab is called murakkabun idafi, which means possessive phrase. Then we have Murakkabun Binai, numerical phrase. Ahada Ashara. Ahada Ashara means 11.
11, Ahada Ashara.
Yes, Ahad means one. Ashara means 10. So, two words, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put them together means Ahada Ashara, which means 11. Does it give a complete sentence? Say, if I ever was to say Ahada Ashara, one's going to think, yeah, what about 11? 11 people? 11 men? 11 footballs? 11 sweets? What are you talking about 11? So it's incomplete. So this is called a numerical phrase. That's called Murakkab Bina'i. Murakkab Ishari. That is called demonstrative phrase. Say, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitabu. Dhalika Al-Kitabu. That book. Huh? That book. Dhalika Al-Kitab. That book. What about that book? What's wrong with that book? Is it big? Does it have problems in it? Is there any doubt in it? Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. It has no doubt. That book, meaning the Quran, has no doubt. Now we know what he's talking about. What's he talking about? He's talking about that the book doesn't have no doubt. So now it's a complete sentence. But if I were just to say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, then the listener would think, waiting for something else. What else? What about that book? So this, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ, although it consists of two words, but it is incomplete. The sentence is incomplete. And this type of two words is classified as demonstrative phrase, which is مُرَكَّبٌ إِضَاف إِشَارِ. مُرَكَّبٌ إِشَارِ. Again, we will be doing that in book number 2. In the first couple of lessons, we'll be breaking that even more. So this is just a little gist. Then we got Murakkabun Tawsifi. Murakkabun Tawsifi. Adjectival phrase. Where you have an adjective. For example, Kitabun Kabirun. Or Al-Kitabul Kabiru. The big book. Al-Kitabul Kabiru means?
Big book.
The big book. What about the big book? Is it here? Is it lost? Is it gone? Is it ripped? Is it stolen? Is it hidden? We don't know. It's incomplete. Although there's two words, which is Al-Kitabul Kabiru. Al-Kitab, one book. Kabir. So Al-Kitab, one word. Al-Kabir is another word. But although there's two words together, it's incomplete. Whereas if I was to say Al-Kitabu Kabirun, that's a complete sentence. The book is big. The book is big. So we have two words. The same two words has given us a complete sentence. But if it's compounded in a different way, it will give us an incomplete sentence. So if I were to say Al-Kitabu Kabirun, it will mean the book is big. Now is that complete or incomplete?
Complete.
But if I was to say Al-Kitabul Kabiru, it will mean the big book. See, so much difference. So if you don't pronounce it properly, it will change. So if you, instead of saying Kabirun, you said Kabiru, Al-Kitabul Kabiru, it would mean the big book. You add half of the sentence now. You destroyed half of the sentence. So this is, it comes under this, Murakkabun Tawsifu. Yeah? Are we all there? So this is what we covered mostly in the book, in the first book. We also covered some sentences, like, has anyone got this? No? You want to pass that around? Yeah, just pass that around. These are some of the sentences that we did. Again, there's quite a few other things that we've done, but unfortunately I don't think we have got all photocopies, photos of this. I don't know why. Anyhow, we're learning. It's a learning curve. So, again, the sentence is not that important because we'll be learning more sentences as we go along, but these were just examples that we were learning in the first book. So, alhamdulillah, we've covered most of the things that we've done in the first book. So, again, those who do not have the photocopy of that, they can request for another one. But a photocopy was given in the first lesson, so, you know, everyone should have one. But if you do not have one, then no problem, we can give you another one for reference and for future work. So basically we just covered everything that we've done in the book, in book one, albeit not elaborately, but we have covered most of it. Again, these are all the things that will come again, and we'll keep on touching them, so we'll be refreshed all the time, inshallah. If there's any question that you would like to ask, please ask.
Okay.
And also from the sisters, if there's any question that you would like to ask, please write it down and send it through, or Brother Zubair is coming, and then inshallah he can pass any question through.
Murakkab Azafi.
Murakkab Azafi, yes.
Yeah, what does that?
That is possessive phrase. Does everybody have book one? No? Be a good idea to.
I like to.
For reference, inshallah. Okay. Yeah?
And then get you one. Ismiya.
Jumla Ismiya.
Jumla Khabriya.
Yeah, Jumla Khabriya means a sentence in which. Ismiya means a sentence which begins with Ism.
Begin with Ism. And
the. Faliya? A Jumla which is begin with a verb. Fail. Brother, please feel free to ask anything.
No, I just told them to go on the website, Reading Mustard, for the Arabic.
Failure begin with?
Failure means a sentence which begins with a verb, fail. Don't get scared of the stick. Yeah. It drives the shaitan away, as they say. But let's hope it doesn't drive the memory away. Yeah, have a biscuit, boost of energy. Yeah, alhamdulillah, closing to the lesson. So inshallah, Gateway book 2, just to let you know what we're going to be doing, this is the first thing is we're going to be talking about gender, so if you want to browse for that, and also maybe talking about adjectives, sifa. So if you want to look beforehand, just to give you a little idea of what's coming up, and inshallah we will elaborate on that and explain about certain rules regarding that, inshallah. This is a 10-week course, so we've got another 9 weeks, and we hope to complete this within the next 9 weeks. Please, if you can, go over the first course that we did, if you're not completely fully gripped with it. So it's best to go over the course, and inshallah it will help you as we go along. But never feel shy to ask. If there's something that you didn't understand afterwards, jot it down. Ask me whenever you can. I'm always here. It doesn't have to be in the lesson. You can ask me afterwards. Phone me up. Come to the masjid. And inshallah, that shouldn't be a problem.
If everyone wants to recap, the first course is readingmosque.com/